Good morning. Good morning. Hallo. Goeiemôre. Daar sê hy, it is good to be here. And a lot of new. How are you doing? You're good. No. It's so good to see you. For some reason, since you, what do you call yourself? A Manningers? Are you Manningers? People from Manning, that doesn't, that, it seems it doesn't get old. It's true. Man, so it is good to be here. I've been here a year ago. A lot of things happened in the last year. And a lot of good things. A lot of good things happened. So I don't have time to go there. And but God did amazing things during the year. I believe the last 2 years of my life have been, the last 2.5 have been the most difficult years. I was on a podcast about 2 weeks ago, and I was sharing. It says, "There's life after death." I think 2.5 years ago, I actually died. Not physically, but I died in everything else. Some of you know the story that my son was in a car accident and he was paralyzed, you know. And through that, I lost everything 2.5 years ago. I lost everything. I lost my ministry. I lost my faith. I've lost my hope. But there's life after death. There's life after death. My ministry today is bigger than what it used to be at any other given time. I've got more life. I've got more anointing than any other time. But I had to let everything went 2.5 years ago. Most of my friendship was broken. But there is life. When we go through things in life, it's not to destroy us, but to build us. When God takes us through things, or when life, not it's not always God, it's not God who caused my son to be paralyzed, but when we go through life, it's not to destroy us, but to build us in Christ. Amen? Never forget it. When things happen, my friend, we all know, some of us know Danny. Danny is, me and him, we were friends from childhood, and his wife, 2.5 years ago, 2 years ago, his wife was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And with chemo, with treatment, they gave her 9 months to live. So they decided not to do chemo. That they're going to trust God. And today she's in Fort St. John. Zero cancer. Completely healthy. She preached last Sunday. She preached one of her most powerful sermons. And I was asking Pastor Corey, you guys must listen to this lady. So yes, there's a diagnosis that doesn't sound that good. Things happen. But there is life after death in Christ. Amen. It's not the end. It's not the end. So, this morning I'm going to preach on something I haven't really ever had the opportunity or the chance, the go-ahead from the Holy Ghost to speak. But this morning I'll do it. All right? You see, Pastor Corey, let's pray. In the name of the Lord. Lord Jesus, you said, these words I've spoken to you, they are not mine. They belong to my Father. He will tell me what to say and how to say them. And this morning I pray, Father, that these words, they are not mine, they are yours. That you will lead us and guide us by the Spirit. And it will accomplish the reason why it's sent. Lord, I thank you in John 6, the 62, you said, my words is spirit and life. And this morning, every word that I will utter here will be spirit and life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Corey posted on Facebook, and he said this. I don't know if you've seen. He said, this man, Lo, me, he said, he's always teaching on naturally supernatural, and supernatural in the natural. And when he said that, I thought, it's true. Sometimes we think to be very spiritual, we have to be in this glory cloud. We have to be in the spirit, okay? And sometimes we find in church, I know we're not in this church, I know it for a fact, but in many churches, many Pentecostal, many charismatic churches, people think they have to operate in some gifts and some spirituality to be spiritual. Okay? I spoke to Leo. Let me tell you this. I called a friend of mine the other day when I came, a pastor. I called him and he answered the phone like this. Hallelujah, brother Katabarasanda, Lebondorobase. And I thought, I said, hey man, how are you? He says, no, I'm in the spirit. We're in a prayer meeting, Rabasanda. I said, okay, but how are you? And I couldn't get him to a conversation because he was in the spirit. And I thought to myself, you're nuts. You're completely nuts. You've lost it. Let me tell you, Smith Wigglesworth. Anybody know Smith Wigglesworth? All right, you do. He made a statement. This is for those of us who don't know him. He was one of the great pioneers of the gospel, the Pentecostal gospel church, the Pentecostals, okay? But Smith Wigglesworth used to say, he said, it would be inevitable for a spirit-filled Christian to walk in the street or to enter into a shop and not to cause a stir. I'll repeat. It would be inevitable for a spirit-filled Christian to walk in the street or to meet someone and not to cause some kind of a stir. You see, when the spirit realm come in contact with a natural realm, surely it is bound for something to happen. But that thing, what is about to happen, does not have to be spooky. We call it supernatural. And in the name of being supernatural, we do very weird things. And we call it supernatural. While the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost should be a natural for the spirit-filled Christian. This doesn't make sense? You know, Corey said it, and I just loved it, man. To be natural, you said it in some way now this morning, but anyway, God does for me to be in touch with the Holy Ghost does not mean I have to be funny or crazy. God does not meet this a certain level. You know, I've learned that God is the most relaxed God person ever. Let me tell you a story about my son. My son was my son, the one in the wheelchair, okay? I wouldn't say he was on fire Christian. He wasn't even a Christian at the time of the accident. He knew about God. It's my stepson, okay? Someone. His mother is a witch doctor. It's true. His mom is a witch doctor. So he grew up in that house for some years. He knew about God, but never dedicated his life or anything. So then the accident happened. And about 3 and a half weeks after the accident, I was changing diapers. So at night, he's a grown-up man. He was 28 years of age when he was paralyzed. So he was on diapers. And every night I would go and change his diapers, give him a night diaper, and then early in the next morning I would be back there to change the diapers, the night diapers. So one morning I came to him and I said, champ, good morning. How are you? How was your night? I said, no, good. I said, okay, let's change your diaper. He told me, no, let's talk. I said, okay, we can talk now. Let me just get this diaper off. He says, no, I want to talk now. I said, okay. He said, now you must understand, he was not a spirit-filled Christian. He was not in the spirit. He didn't reach a certain level of spirituality. He was a sinner. Okay? So, he wanted to talk. I said, okay, yes. He told me, he said, somebody came into my room last night. And first of all, I thought, security. He said, who? He said, don't worry, I was not scared. I said, who came? He said, I woke up when he sat on the side of my bed. And I thought, how can you feel that? You can't feel. But he felt it when somebody sat on his bed. I said, yeah. He said, it was Jesus. I thought, no ways. Jesus? And sat on the side of his bed? He said, yes. We had a chat. I said, okay. You know, we Christians, we pray. He had a chat with Jesus. Just a little bit of a different level. They had a chat. I said, yeah? He said, he told me he's going to heal me. I must just give him time. I said, yeah? And we left it. So the point I'm trying to make is Jesus can step into the natural, supernaturally. He was a sinner when Jesus met him on the side of his bed. He's not nervous. He doesn't have this expectation of us to reach a certain level of spirituality before he can show his marvelous wonders. He loves to meet us where we are. Amen. Naturally supernatural and supernatural in the natural. Amen. So this was just for free. This was for free. And this morning's sermon, please, I ask you, in the name of the Lord, please listen to everything I say. I want to give nuggets. Every nugget. There's life. There's life and spirit in every word. So, I could have titled my message this morning different titles. Somebody asked me, what are you preaching on? I said, I wasn't sure what I could title it. I could have titled my message this morning, Prosperity. I could have titled my message this morning, Sowing and Reaping. But I felt I could have titled my message so many titles. But I decided, no. I decided to call it Let the River Flow. So I'm not talking about tithing and offerings this morning. I do not talk about tithing and offerings. I call it Let the River Flow. Amen? Is this okay? So in the book of Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1 talks about creation, how God created the heavens and the earth, creation. Okay? You need a smile, you need to move something, that's better. So let's start in verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every livestock. Right? Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created man. A male and female, he created them. Verse 28. Then God blessed them. What's happening here? God created the creation. Then God made man in his own image, in his own likeness. But then, the Bible says, then God blessed them. God knew the significance in the blessing that he placed on man. In order for us to do anything for God, we need his impartation first. We need God first. So God blessed them. And from that, spring forth life. Okay? So, in Genesis chapter 12, let's read Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. The Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country and leave your people and your father's household and go to the land I will show you. And Abraham, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you and I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. Right. So, are you going to help me? Okay, Pastor Corey, come. Why are your people like mountains? Huge like mountains. I think it's the water you drink. Right, so God, yes God. God made Pastor Corey just like him. Same image, same likeness. But that was not sufficient. I need a jacket. You've got a jacket. Okay, there it is. There you go. There you go. Thank you. Same image. What is this? Is it blanket? Go work. Same image. Just like God. But then God said, but Pastor Corey, I will put my blessing upon you. And because of my blessing upon your life, you will become a blessing. Can we go to the Amplified, please? The Amplified translation says this. Right? Okay, there. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, Pastor Corey, with abundance of increase and favor. And your name, and your name famous in a distant land. Can't read it. And you will be a blessing, a dispensing of good to others. My blessing upon your life. My blessing upon your life, Pastor Corey, is you will become blessed and you will dispense goodness to others. The purpose of the blessing of Jesus Christ on the life of a believer is not for self-gain, it's for others. I always say, the blessing of God on your life is so that others can live. You see, sometimes in the prosperity message, now I'm not against prosperity. I'm not against it. We need money. I always need lots of money. So that others can live. I always say, if you've got too much money, give it to me. Please. If you've got money, give it to me. I know what to do with it. So that others can live. It's the purpose. You know? You can just sit somewhere. Sit with that. Will you allow me? Can I just speak this morning? You know, who knows Bill Johnson? Right, Bill Johnson is an amazing man of God. And he had a business men's meeting of conference. He's from the States, but he's been in Alberta earlier this week, Drayton Valley this week, or last week. He had a businessman's meeting, and he was addressing businessmen. And the main thing Bill Johnson preached or ministered to businessmen, he said, there's got to be purpose behind being a businessman. There's got to be more than just generating finances for yourself. As a businessman, if you want to generate finances to buy another vehicle and more toys, you miss it. As a Christian businessman, we've got to be purpose. He even went this far and he said, unless, if you open your door, you unlock your business door in the morning, surely the reason, the purpose behind you unlocking your business in the morning is for the kingdom of God and no other reason. It's not for self-gain. It's so that the kingdom of God being impacted. Amen. As a Christian, we can very easily lose focus and think it's all about us and financial gain and new toys and new vehicles, but we're missing the goal. We are missing the goal. I'm running a business. I'm anointed to run a business with the kingdom of God in sight. I'll take it. Remember, in Luke chapter 4, from verse 18, Jesus stood up in the temple. He stood up and he said, "The Spirit of God is on me, the anointing." Remember? Remember, Jesus was just born without glory and without glamour. Right? But then in verse 18, Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he says, "The Spirit of God is on me. And he anointed me to heal the sick, to open the eyes of the blind." The anointing, the touch. We sang that song. Oh, it was beautiful what you did, Tyler. He touched me. The touch of Jesus on our lives is not to grow a great ministry. It's not to become famous. It's for others. It's for others to live. Bill called me a couple of weeks ago. He says, "Lo, you know, the gift of God on our lives is not, it's not for us, it's for others." When God said, "Abraham, I will bless you," it's so that others can live. Can I tell you a story? Let me tell you a story. Some years ago, I was in Canada and I was about to go back to South Africa. So all my friends in Edmonton area, Scott and Jane, they arranged it. My friends arranged for a barbecue to send me off home. So we had a barbecue and a lot of people came, 30 plus people came. And as people came there, somebody came to me. And he gave me a golden handshake. $200 a hand, you know. He shake my hand, you know. $200. I said, "Thank you, Jesus." So I put it in my pocket. Maybe 10 minutes later, somebody came there. Now, please listen to the testimony. About 10 minutes later, somebody came there, and I heard that week that they didn't have money to buy milk for the baby. Somebody helped them. I went, "Oh, shucks." So they came, "Pastor Lo, what? And I thought, "Lord Jesus, I got $200. So I took it out of my pocket and I gave him a handshake. And I said, "Thank you, Jesus." I got it and it's out. A couple of minutes later, somebody came to me and, "Pastor Lo, Oh, God bless you. Enjoy home. Enjoy Africa. I slipped money into my hand. And I thought, yes. And look, $200. I got it. I gave it. It came back. Yes, I said, Jesus, you're great. Minutes after that, a friend of mine was coming from Calgary. This was in Edmonton. A friend of mine came from Calgary, but he didn't have gas money to come and say bye-bye to me. So I sent him some money to come and to greet me. So then when I saw him, when he came, hi, hello, bye-bye, I thought, I got $200. So, bless you. Now, take it. I got it. I gave it. It came back. I gave it. The last person to greet me that night, he slipped $200 back into my hand. And I thought, Jesus, you're amazing. The very purpose of being blessed by you is for others. In the name of the Lord, it's not for our bank accounts. It's not for own selfish reasons and toys. It's so that others can live. I said, I'm not going to preach on tithing and offerings. It's so that on the river of life, so that others, there's a flow of God. You know, some years ago, this vehicle outside, I'm driving a vehicle, a very smart vehicle. Some time ago, 7 years ago, me and Danny, we came into Canada, we landed in Edmonton, and a friend of us there, in Edmonton, said, "Lo, before you and Danny go up north, we need to meet." So we said, okay, so we went to Tim Hortons in Spruce Grove, sat there, and he told me, he says, "Lo, you know, I just bought this vehicle, and God spoke to me and my wife separately. They said, the Lord said, we need to give you the vehicle. We just bought it, but we bought it for you." I said, "Sure? Are you serious?" "Yeah." So I got this amazing vehicle. So me and Danny, we came to work to get money for the year. Okay, the money we work here, we take it home and we live from that. And I run my ministry from this money. So, but Danny's son had to go to university and Danny's son needed a vehicle. So Danny said he's going to work and take the money and buy his son a vehicle. And I thought to myself, oh, shame. You know? The money you need to run, you need to live on it for a year. So in my heart I said, I got this vehicle for free. So I gave it to Danny. I said, Danny, here's your vehicle. I said, what? I said, I'll take the vehicle and sell it. And take the money, go and sell the vehicle. Okay? So he got it. I gave it away. So that he can live. I came into Canada this year. A week before I landed, I got a call from Fort St. John. Michael Brubold. This is low. You remember the vehicle? I said, yes. Oh, of course I do. He says, it's yours. I said, what? He said, yes, the owner came in here and he handed me the keys and said, register it in Lowe's name. I went, Lord, I got it. I gave it. I got it back. There's a river. Some years ago, I was in Edmonton, just outside Edmonton in Devon. I was working on a farm on a high hill. And that day while I was working there, the heavens opened and just started raining. And I was standing with my raincoat working. You know, we Africans, we work in the rain. Because we work per hour. Okay? So we work. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and he said, today I will teach you the principle of money. I thought, what? I stood there and I saw a stream coming down from down. You know, it's raining. There's a small stream running. And I saw a leaf. The Holy Ghost showed me or brought my attention to a leaf. And the leaf was going down. But more streams as the leaf went down, I followed it. More water ran in. And with more water running in, the stronger the stream and the more, the faster the leaf would go. And I stood there and the Holy Spirit said, it's the principle of money that I've just showed you. I said, wow. The quicker the current, the stronger the current, the quicker it will go. And the Lord said, I've blessed you to be a blessing to people. The more you release, the greater the flow. It's only about money, but it is about the blessing of Jesus. I'm talking about, you know, the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Not only talking about money, but I'm talking about the gifts of the Holy Ghost. The more you release, the more you let go, the quicker it will go, the faster. There is a release of the anointing of Jesus, but you have to let it go so that others can live. I was telling some people, I said, please listen now. I said, it is absolutely crucial for us as believers to touch Jesus so that others can live. This morning when we sang the song, he touched me. In my heart I said, Jesus, I need your touch so that others can live. I need the anointing of Jesus on my life so that other people can live. In the kingdom of God, there's not an accumulation of a blessing of Jesus. As I said, I'm not against the prosperity message. But certainly, there's a wrong aspect to it. There's a wrong attachment to it. Abraham, I will bless you. And through my blessing on your life, the nations of the earth will be blessed. You see, so often, some years ago, the Lord really touched me and he showed me something. He said, what about that? I said, we settle as Christians, we settle for being blessed. You know, and the job is prayer. Lord, bless me. And that's great. And there was some time, some years ago, that was a big thing in the church. Lord, bless me. But everything was things was wrong for me in that prayer. When the emphasis is bless me. And it stopped there. That does not sit well with me. And I always say this. Please listen. It takes the same faith to trust God for blessing. God bless me. It takes the same amount of faith to say bless me or cause me to be a blessing. Cause me to be a blessing. It doesn't take more faith. It does not take more faith from trusting God for blessing and for be a blessing. My faith is Jesus Christ calls me to bring life wherever I go. People need to live, man. Sometimes I haven't got it yet, but anyway, sometimes I'll do it on purpose. You know, we have to remind ourselves. Sometimes, out of principle, wherever I go, I pay. If you go to a restaurant, I'll pay. It's true. If you put gas in a vehicle, I pay. How money comes to me, that's a different story. People give me. That guy there, where you, Kevin. Do you know what God is doing in Kevin's life? Whenever I need money, that's Jesus. The next morning, Kevin put $500 there. It's true. He knows that. Whenever I need money, I've got so many people that I'm taking care of because I'm carrying the wallet. You know what I mean? You know what I mean by that? I'm blessed. I am blessed to take care of you. It's my principle. That's a principle I live by. I'm talking a lot about myself, but you know, Paul said this. Brother Paul said, I will not dare to speak on anything else except what Christ has accomplished in my life. Right? I can honestly say what I'm preaching here this morning, I live this. Bill, you know it. I'm talking to you. Move up your glasses. And I'm not talking about myself. I'll talk about myself, but I'm sharing a principle here. A week and a half after I landed in Canada this year, that's a month and a half ago, I prayed one day and I said, Jesus, Lord Jesus, I beg you for 15 years, extend my life with 15 years, but life, I don't want to get old. I don't want to lose strength. I want to live healthy and strong for another 15 years. I cannot afford to get sick and old now. I cannot afford because people depend on me. People depend. That low will be strong and healthy. And here comes the challenge. Here comes the challenge. Sometimes we think we're just old and our lives are over and we just live nicely and calm. So I pray that the Holy Ghost will disturb you this morning. We cannot get old and settled. The Bible says in the book of Acts, the book of Acts chapter 12 verse 34, I think, says this. It says 15. Anyway, it says, after David, my servant, served his generation, he fell asleep. He said, my purpose for his generation. After David served my purpose in his generation, he fell asleep. Where is your purpose? Years ago, I was a pastor like Pastor Corey, a pastor in a church, settled. And I buried many people. And whenever the grave would open and the coffin would go down, the question always is, I wonder whether this person have served his purpose. I wonder whether he served the purpose of God in his life. Or did he just went down? It is not time to get old. It's not time to get old. It's not time to relax. There's a purpose to serve. And God does not need anything from us. God does not need our money. God does not need anything. But people does. People does. Let's go to... Is this okay? Is this okay? You see, whenever you talk about this, people always think, ah, he wants money. No, it's not about money. It's not about money. The Bible says this in John 3:16 says, please listen. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. I pray that God will give us a love for people. Billy's always saying, "Lo," he's always talking about love people, love a sinner, for God loved sinners. Let's go to Ezekiel 47. Now, Ezekiel 47, let's start from verse 7. Now, let's go to John chapter 4. Now, let's start in John chapter 4. We're going to come back. John chapter 4 verse 13 says, from verse 13. Remember when Jesus was at the well and the woman asked, and he asked the woman for water? Remember? Right. So verse 13. And Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I will give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I'll give him will come in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. So Jesus is saying this. He says, when I touch you, the water that you'll drink from me, when you drink this water, it will become a spring of life and it will flow out of you. The purpose of coming to Jesus and to sit at the feet of Jesus is so that there could be a flow of life. John chapter 7. Verse 37 says, on the last and the greatest day of a feast, Jesus stood up and said, in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture have said, streams of living water will flow out from him. But this meant the Spirit. There is a purpose for us to come and to kneel at the feet of Jesus. It's not to be super spiritual. It's really not to be so super spiritual and so intellectual. If we really thought that our relationship with Jesus is about us and growing higher and in the dimension, what do you call it? In the dimension, you're more spiritual and you speak in tongues and you do that and I operate in the gifts. It's not about you. Our spirituality is not measured by us. If you drink from this water, I will give you streams of living water will flow out of you. Let's go to the last verse. Ezekiel 47 says, this is where the river, you know, where the water, Ezekiel, when then the river, the water is ankle deep and knee deep and hip, and then all that story is there. And I want to, and this is normally this is where we stop preaching. It's true. It's a great sermon there. But I want to continue reading about the river. Okay? So verse 6 says, he asked me, son of man, do you see this? Then he led me back to the bank of a river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. And he said to me, this water flows from the east region and goes down to Arab, where it enters into the sea. Okay? When it empties into the sea, the water there will become fresh. This water. And John said, it will become a, if you drink from me, if you drink from me, it will spring up and it will be a stream of water. Now scripture says it will become a river. Whenever this river ends up in the salty waters, it will turn the salty waters fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live there, wherever the river flows. Hallelujah, man. Wherever. In context, Jesus, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. I love it, eh? He touched me. And because of his touch, there's a river. And wherever the river flows, it will turn things around. It will affect people. And swarms of fishes will live there. Because he touched me. Oh, he touched me. So people can live. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. Sometimes it flows in the bank. Sometimes the river can flow in safe way. No frills. At the mill. Wherever the river goes. Wherever I go, I don't have to be spooky. I don't have to pray in tongues, rabba rabba. I don't have, I can just go. I am anointed. I'm blessed. I can just be. There will be large number of fish. Listen now. Because, everybody say, because the water flows there. Because the water flows there, people will live. But then it says, so where the river flows, everything will live. Fisherman will stand there. Let's go to verse 11. But the swamps and the marshes will not become fresh. They'll be left for salt. What is a swamp and a marsh? We know. It's where there's an inflow but no outflow. Where there's an inflow of a blessing of God and the anointing, but there's no outflow. It's a swamp. It's a swamp and a marsh. And nothing will live. Missing the purpose for the touch of God, the blessing of God, and the touch of God in our lives. Amen. So in conclusion, is this all right? I pray this morning, and I want to stir each one. People, we've got to live for a purpose, with a purpose. We've got to live for with a purpose. And the purpose is not to get rich and wealthy. But the purpose is for the people of God to live. Now that's not only talking about money. It doesn't talk about money. Only money. It talks about life. It talks about the gift of God on your life. It's easy to frame it as money, but it's the blessing of God is more than money. Like Bill said, when he called me, he says, "Lo, the gift is not for us, it's for others." He prayed for a man, remember? Yeah, you. Hey? Yeah.
I don't like it when Lowe speaks for me, so I'll speak for myself.
I'm not doing a good job or what?
You did an amazing job. It's a very sobering message. It really wants to make me weep because of the years that I wasted seeking God for myself and not realizing that I was becoming a swamp and a marsh. And And you know, when Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, he didn't give money. I don't know that he ever gave anybody money. He gave the kingdom, right? He gave the Spirit. And God just taught me that, you know, even having the faith to come to God and praying, you know, prayer, having prayer, fellowship with God, that's a gift. We don't take it as a gift from God, but it's a gift. And that gift is what he said. He said, when you see a need, go and pray for them. Your ability to pray for them, because you stand before God righteous in Jesus Christ, your ability to pray, see it as a gift, not as an obligation. Oh, I should. It's Amen. A gift. Give them a gift. Freely you have received, freely give. It's not up to you to heal them. It's up to Jesus to, as you're in fellowship with him, it's up to, he'll come. He says, you know, he hears us when we call. So I was in Paddle Prairie. I was a power lineman. Went to shut off the, disconnect some wires so they could do some work at the water plant. And met this guy there. I don't think Frank would mind if I would share about him. He was very thankful to me after I prayed. So anyway, I was sitting in the office there at the water treatment plant before the work commenced, because there was some lag time. And I said, man, Frank, you look good for an old guy. He says, oh, no, I've been. And he was sitting in his chair there, and he said, I've been having terrible back pain. For the last 3 months, I've just been in agony down my side. My nerve is pinched down my hip here, and my leg goes numb, and whatever he was all telling me. And I went to see 5 doctors. Finally, they did an MRI. They found that I have bulging discs in my back. My bones were tight, compressed, and they're going to send me to a spinal specialist, spinal doctor. I said, man, that's not very good. I said, can I pray for you? And I didn't really have didn't have an expectation. But what I did have is I had fellowship with the Holy Spirit from high level to Paddle Prairie. I just, Lord, baptize me, you know, like, because we need to be refilled and filled and refilled, right? But at the same time, if I did that just for me and then held it back from someone who's in need, how can God desire to fill me when I'm holding it back for myself, right? And there have been other times at work, you know, a guy walking along, he hurt his knee on a treadmill, said, man, can I pray for you? And nothing happened, but he appreciated that I prayed for him, you know? And so it's the word's kind of going around at work. Well, Bill will pray for you, or, you know, and maybe nothing has happened, but people know that you care, and they start to know that God loves them as well. It's because through you, it's like, am I ashamed to show that Jesus cares for you? What if nothing happens? My testimony is the testimony of Jesus. It's not my own, my own experiences necessarily. Anyway, so I prayed for Frank. He went to give me his hands. He said, no, give me your feet. So I held up his feet, and his, you know, your feet are, you know, not lined up. His heels were like that, kind of like that. They were about 3/4 of an inch apart. And so I just prayed for him. I just spoke to the back, told it to be healed in Jesus' name. And Lord, thank you for touching him. His leg starts doing this. And then his heels start coming together to the same level. And I'm looking at him, man, he's squirming in his seat or something, right? And he's just sitting there. And it's like a Christmas morning for me. It's like, I threw his feet down. I said, there, Frank, try that. And he stood up. That's way better. Thank you very much, he said. I said, he can thank me, right? But Jesus put his, like, in Acts 2, it says, Lord, stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through your name of your holy servant, Jesus. So Jesus just put his hand there. And like Lo said, he talked about sinners. For God so loved the sinners. I don't know if Frank's a believer. I very much doubt that he had any faith. And here Jesus just touched his back like that. Why? Because God loves the world that he gave his son. He loves the world. He doesn't hold back from them until he's smarten up. And he doesn't, the same thing with us. So anyway, Frank's walking around and he, you know, whatever he's all telling me. But an hour later, I went to check on him. Let's see. I'm curious myself. Jesus, what's going on? Like, did you, you know, is he healed? And because I'm like a kid, it's not like every day that just something miraculous happens. But every day I walk in fellowship with the Holy Spirit and just enjoy. I have God for my enjoyment. Right? I have God for my enjoyment. There's a verse in Hebrews 2 that says, therefore God, your God, has, because you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. And here I am, I'm just enjoying God. I let God search my motives in my heart. Am I selfish? If there's selfishness in me, I want that out of there. It's not who I am in Christ. It's not who any of you are in Christ. There's no selfish motive in the new creature in Christ. You can't have it. It just doesn't fit who you are. You have the nature of Jesus in you. And we can pray that way with grace. And Holy Spirit wants to come and make the reality of Jesus your reality. He doesn't just want to fix us and then have us struggle through it again and fix us and have us struggle through it again. No, we need to pray differently. We need to pray what Jesus has accomplished. Yeah. So Frank, he's good. He's comes down through the ditch there and he's walking around and he's healed. I said, how is it? He said, it's night and day different. The best thing I did in the last 3 months was come here for coffee this morning, he said. But if I had kept the river of the Holy Spirit, you know, just the joy of being with God. That's the whole purpose for us having Jesus is just to live in the joy of the Lord. Jesus can touch you, you know. Yeah. The next day I have another outage in paddle. I go out to this lady's place and she comes out, her power's off, I fix it, go back and just to make sure. And I said, man, I like your t-shirt, I said. And it said, love the way that you're loved.
Powerful.
And she says, yeah, my friend gave it to me and she's a Christian. And then she said, and so am I. I said, oh, wonderful. So am I. I said, can I tell you a story? And I said, you know Frank? So I told her about Frank. And I asked, and what's your name? And she was all choked up. Just hearing about the love of God. And I don't even believe necessarily, like, we love the miraculous. But the natural, but the new creation natural walk is an enjoyment of the Lord all the time. And you know, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of giving. Jesus spoke on, and I don't want to preach this, but Jesus spoke, he said, when you give, Matthew 6, when you fast, when you pray. Those are very foundational for our lives as Christians. To have a spirit of giving, to have a spirit of self-control and fasting, and a spirit of prayer, which is fellowship with the Holy Spirit and praying for others as we see the needs arise. And anyway, so I was able to I just ministered to her some more, shared some truth about Jesus, and she was so touched. And it's just amazing how sharing a little bit of story and not being ashamed of the gospel. Man, God is so good to me. look what he did here. And just, but I think more than that is because we carry the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, the ministry of condemnation, which is under the law, if I just preach the word can become law and it can be condemnation to you and death. But you have been given the ministry of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? Holy Spirit, would you touch these people? Because he doesn't minister based on our goodness. He ministers on the greatness of Jesus Christ. So amazing. That's just been truly wonderful. And everything Lo said, I said, amen.
Amen.
There's a receiving. You know, like God showed me, he said, I was kind of meditating on this, and it's like the oxygen principle. You take 2% when you breathe in, but you're still able to give CPR to someone, give them life, the 19% that's left, right? 21% oxygen in the atmosphere. You use 2%, you breathe out 19. You can still give CPR until they can breathe for themselves, have their own full stream of oxygen. Mm-hmm. Of the Holy Spirit, right? It's their own. You make it your own. You make your fellowship with God your own. Don't come to someone for the lesser portion. Go get your own full supply.
Thanks, Bo. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Are we on the same page? I just want to make something sure. So when we talk about reaching and giving, our motives are so important. Why are we doing what we are doing? Why? Why are we helping people? You know, there's a story, and I'm just going to be short now. Remember when the lady came to Jesus? And poured out the oil, the very expensive perfume oil, poured that on him. So she came with this perfume and she broke the flask and she poured it over him. And she anointed him, remember? And it was preparation for funeral, for his crucifixion and funeral. Absolutely spiritual. Anointed in the Holy Ghost. What the disciples saw, they saw, this is a waste. They said, we could have sold it and gave it to the poor. You see, sometimes in our giving, we might be very carnal. We can meet social needs and miss the Spirit. We can build orphanages in Africa. We can build many orphanages. And sometimes people do. And in that, they try to pamper themselves. They've been doing good. Oh, I built an orphanage. I built a school in Africa. No, shut up. Your motive is wrong. Your motive is wrong. It's not in the giving. It's when you touch Him. And there's a flow from the Spirit. And not from the excess of your needs or excess of your possessions. God said He made man and He blessed him. His blessing in our lives will outflow. You see the difference? Is it clear? So, I need you. I was, while Bill was talking, I tried to give him sign language, but he couldn't pick it up. Are you going to sing that song for us again? Lead us in that song, yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Just to highlight a little bit, there's another old song that some of you might know, some of you might not. It says, "Oh, to be his hand extended, reaching out to the oppressed. Let me touch him, let me touch Jesus, so that others can know and be blessed." It's not about us just touching Jesus. It's about us reaching out. 1 Timothy 3, 6, or 6, 17 says, "He richly gives us to enjoy." So he gives us blessings, whatever blessings they are. That can be spiritual things. It can be physical things. But be ready to share. So we need to be ready to share whatever he blesses us with. So when he gives you healing, bless others with healing. When he gives you his spirit, bless others with his spirit. When he gives you money, bless others with the money. Be ready to do that. And so when Terrell sings this, I want us to practice it. You know, we get guest speakers, especially with Lo here. He loves to bless people with praying for them. That's what he does. But the principle here is you need to do it. So I want you, when Terrell sings this, I want you to reach out to someone that's around you and pray for them. You don't need to know what's going on. They could share with you if they want. But just somebody that's right beside you or right around you, I don't want this to be uncomfortable for anyone. Just pray for them. But if you desperately need a physical touch of something specific, we're here to pray with you.
Mm-hmm, I mean.
Is that okay with you?
Very good.
Okay. And then, so Terrell, go ahead and just pray with someone that's around you. And then if you do need something more, please come up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. So as we're going to sing, he touched me. Said, "Jesus, touch me so for others." Not this morning is not for selfish reasons. It's for others. Touch me, Jesus. Amen. And then if there's anybody that needs prayer, just come. We'd love to pray for you, with you.